PodNuts wants to thank everyone who supports the network by going to www.podnuts.com/Amazon.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Geeksters episode 146. This is a show where we talk about all things geeky, life of a geek, life of a tech, what goes on. If it's got a computer in it, at some point, we're going to talk about it. My name is Martin Abando. I'm one of the hosts here in this menagerie of awesomeness. Before we get going, though, I do want to give a quick shout out to one of our sponsors. If you go to the podnuts.com website over on the left-hand side and all the way down at the bottom, you're going to notice an ad. And the ad's for technibble.com and their computer business kit. If you have a computer business and you don't know where to go with forms, with materials, how to get out there, where to write stuff down with, you just don't know kind of how to put all the nuts and bolts together as far as documentation, check it out, the computer business kit version 3. It has, looks like they got quite a lot of stuff there to get you going with forms, documentations, labels, you name it, they've got it. So check it out, podnuts.com, and thanks for supporting us, TechNibble. We greatly appreciate it. The two guys that are with me, as always, Tim and Mitch. Hey guys, how's it going? Oh, Mitch has still got his super, his Wonder Woman bracelet on.
My bowling glove.
Oh, bowling glove. How's it going, guys? Are you recovering from Snowpocalypse 2015?
It was hardly anything on my end. I don't know. I think, Tim, would you say you got 6 inches or something?
6 inches. I mean, you know what? It's funny because since I don't really pay a lot of attention to news and forecasts, and I'll admit I'm really not plugged into my environment in that way where I need to know minute by minute who just got shot, who just got there. I seem to be getting along okay. Just in the mornings, I get up, I look out the accu window, and you know
that's all you need.
You know, if it's snowing. If there's 6 inches of snow, well, it's not going to come down the next 20 minutes. And so, you know, I just kind of take it as it comes. And so I have no idea what they were forecasting. It seems a lot of people I ran into gave me the impression that we got more than they were calling for here, but I don't know.
It's just the opposite here. They were calling like 4 to 8 yesterday morning. It was a dusting when I got up. And I think we might have had 2 inches this morning.
You did pretty good.
Yeah.
So the one thing I did encounter with this system was that I think that where we have all the snow that we've had this year, all last year, I don't know, that it just came down an inch here, an inch there, a couple inches. Yeah. That, you know, it actually gets 6 inches straight. I got the impression that they just got out of their rhythm and they weren't quite prepared to handle that. So it seemed that, you know, they just kind of got at it after it a little too late. The schools, they called, you know, a 2-hour delay when they really should have canceled it. So, you know, there was that kind of thing, but it was like, it's just snow. But then again, I don't know. I mean, my wife, I drove the van, I drove it in and out of the driveway, in and out, no problem. And then, you know, probably 10 times. And then she goes to pick up the boy at the bus stop. Comes in 2 minutes later, she said, "Well, I got the van stuck." I'm like, "You got it stuck?" I'm like, "Where's the van stuck?" She said, "It's stuck at the end of the driveway." I'm like, "What do you mean it's stuck at the end of the driveway?" So you know what I mean. On one hand, I find people tiresome when they go on about how, but then again, I live with the public, I guess. So my wife got broken. So I revoked her driveway driving privileges.
I got a 2-inch nut or bolt in my tire today, and I'm thinking it was like a chunk of ice or back rear tire, because I was leaving McDonald's to get my coffee, and I'm hearing something thump 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 thump, and I thought it was just a chunk of ice or something. I said I didn't see any ice, but I had to get my oil changed today anyway, so I had them check it. It was like a 2-inch thing spike like that.
It's 2-inch now.
Well, they patched it.
It's fixed. It's probably 3-inch when it went in, right? I love that's my favorite part. I hate going to tire store. Of course, you know what? I always do all my own work, and so yeah, I'll plug a tire or whatever. But when you go to the tire store, what's my favorite thing there? It's always right. They always have like that container, some plastic container or something, with all the stuff they've pulled out of tires. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
It's just a big collection of rusty crap, and I could spend a half hour just picking through that, and I'm simple. But you know what I mean? I love that like thing. This is all the stuff that we've like rescued.
See, you're young. You can still do that. Both you guys. Me, I get down on the ground. I may not be getting back up.
Oh, I don't mess with my car. I'm lazy, essentially.
I was changing oil one time. I had a 90 Nissan pickup, and I had it jacked up. I mean, changing my oil, and the jack, I didn't have my jack stands.
Yeah.
So I had it jacked up, and it came down on me. So that didn't hurt me. Just knocked the wind out of me. But
I guess
I was lucky.
Well, you know, working on your own car, I think as techs, you know, we fix things for a living, and so, and I guess, you know, I'm a hardware guy, so it kind of lends itself. Well, actually, let me say that again. I used to fix all these other things first, and I kind of like found myself, you know, fixing hardware here for a living. But,
right.
You know, I don't enjoy doing those things like I used to. But I'll tell you what, nothing makes you enjoy fixing computers more than fixing
computers.
than wrestling a starter motor out of something.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because I get down here and I'm like, oh, I got to do that. Oh, I'm so sick of this. Oh, I can't. Oh, this person. Oh, they're making me. But then I go out and I spend like 2 hours preaching at the car. And I come back down here and I'm like, oh, I love fixed computers. I love fixed computers.
Yeah.
What was I ever thinking? So, you know, I do. I love fixing things. And I tell you what, I really do enjoy, you know, getting out of the garage or I had the washing machine apart the other day. It needs a new motor. Yeah. It just, it's kind of cross trained. I mean, as you fix other things, you know, don't be afraid to do that because that's how you get into this. And so there usually is some, crossover that you learn something that eventually applies or reminds you of something maybe you forgot that applies. And so you know what? Fixing new things and learning new things like that—it keeps the brain nimble. You know, it's easy to get in a rut down here fixing the same, you know, same mm-hmm. things over and over again. So, I do enjoy doing those different things. But ultimately, I tell you what, I come back down here and I sit by my at my desk with my fan here, and I kind of forget what the heck it was I was complaining about.
Yeah, I understand about that rut. That's something that I've been struggling. I don't know if it has to do with the weather because it's just not sunny outside. You know, I'm in the Pacific Northwest. It's foggy. It's been foggy every single day. The fog will stay till about 10 o'clock. It'll roll out, and then right about 3, it rolls back in, and it's just thick and heavy and soupy, and you got to kind of use your windshield wipers. And so my day is just, it's just gray. Everything's gray. So, you know, I've been trying to look at what I can do about increasing that because I don't... It is really easy, and I think it's for anybody. It's really easy to kind of fall into a rut, and especially with, you know, I know you, Tim, and myself, and we all kind of just work by ourselves. And, I mean, I have clients, and I go visit them, but unless there's something new that they want to do or there's a project that I want to do, you kind of just go on and on about your business.
It is very solitary, and that's what's so great about podcasts.
Well, yes. Yeah. You can definitely, you know, we can get together. We can talk about stuff. I really like that. This link was given to me by Matthew Ward. No, Matthew Williams. I apologize. Matthew Williams. And I thought, yeah, it looks a little sketchy. And then I had heard Nick Shaw talk about it. And then Malware Bytes. They actually broadcasted it out. It's called Cybrary IT. So it's CYBRARY.IT. And, it has a lot of learning. It's free, and it says free IT and cyber security learning. They have CompTIA A+, Linux Plus, SharePoint, Cloud Plus, CCISP, and that's a Cisco information security. They're going to be doing a malware analysis. They're going to be cryptography, ethical hacking, Security Plus. And I was just about ready to pull the trigger on just signing up. Our local college has kind of an online course where you can go and you can take stuff, and it's every day or every Wednesday and Friday, they come out with stuff, and you download it, and you take a little test, and basically it's a prep course, and it gets you going and stuff. I was about ready to pay the $195 for that, and then that morning, Matthew sent this to me, and my concern was that it looks a little, I wasn't too sure about giving my stuff out for it, but with a couple people talking about it more, I went ahead and signed up for it, and there's a video. So you can just sit down and watch a video with a guy talking about, you know, I watched the first one on Security Plus. He talks about firewalls, and then he'll talk about, I don't know. I'd have to look through here, but there's different modules. So I don't know. Check that out. It's Cybrary, CYBRARY.IT. It's good something to maybe throw on in the background when you're doing something and just want to sit down and veg for a moment. You can maybe learn something.
Oh, cool. Cool. Hey, real quick, something I wanted to address before we got on the snow thing, but you had mentioned Tech Nibble there at the beginning of the program.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, that Tech Nibble, I'm sure I don't have to tell anybody in our audiences, but that Tech Nibble, they've been around forever. They've always been like the de facto, site for, well, you know, I mean, after Podnuts, of course, but
well,
I mean, that Tech Nibble, it's just, it's always been great. It's always been solid, and it's always been, you know, there to serve the tech. And, you know, I can't say enough good about it. And, just, you know, what a resource, that's what it is. It's a resource. What a resource it's been for me personally. Just really fantastic. And so, you know, just hearing Tech Nibble mentioned, you know, in our show, that I'm really quite proud of that. So, I'm very thankful for everything that they do there. And so just fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. I've taken a look at their documents, but I know they have a huge giant form that I've signed up for, and just spending time in a forum, I don't have very much of it. So I signed up for it, but I've not been on their forum very often. But that is a great place. If you have any questions, check out the Tech Nibble forum. I mean, we have a forum too, but I'm not sure how active it is lately. I mean, part of that's me. I'm not very active in our podcast forum.
Yeah, so. I don't think they kind of went to Reddit. What's it called?
Yeah.
They do a lot of stuff in there.
I'm not. That's just me. I'll be meeting with a gentleman probably next week to go over, you know, how can Obando Computing expand? What is that going to look like? And you know, I had a meeting with a client today, so you know, a new client. And I mentioned it to my wife this morning, and she asked me what my day was going to be like, and I said, well, I'm going to meet with a new client today, and she gave me a look. And I had to just forget. It's one of the looks that, as husbands, we just go, I know what that means, and I'm just going to keep on ignoring it because. She knows I'm busy, and she doesn't want me to be overly busy, but I also have a hard time saying no, and I know that I'm going to grow, so I got to
borrow $20.
She doesn't want you to get into a rut.
No, I know. Can you borrow $20? If I had a nickel every time somebody said that to me.
You wouldn't be here. No, just kidding.
Yeah. So what else has been going on with you guys?
Updates, 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 updates. What is it today? It's just updates out the wazoo. I mean, Microsoft updates. I'll tell you what, there's kind of it's really irritating me, this most recent Java update. Several machines, it's got the Java thing. Well, all right. So you Java needs check for now. Okay, well, go check for the update. Well, the Java needs updated. Well, all right. So just do it already. So you click it, it downloads the update, and then it goes install and says, and if the install fails, and it gets some really strange reason.
You have to reboot. They don't tell you that now.
Well,
I mean, what I've been experiencing.
Okay, well, initially, this has happened on three machines now, well, all Windows 7, but the installation of the update fails, and it says that the update's not required, or that like the version I have is newer. It's some really bizarre thing. So I press on, and then it's like, so I go into the Java console and I have it check for the updates. Well, sure enough, there is an update. I mean, clearly I know that the version I have is older because just the numbering alone. But I press on, okay, and well, once it seems to get going, well, then it does want to update, and so. I didn't know if you'd noticed that or anything. It's just kind of bizarre how it's really all excited for an update, but then it fail. Well, it doesn't use the word fail, but
see, I was having problems on the Windows 8 machines where it would say it would install, and I go to a site that I know it uses it, and it's not working. And it wants to install, and just researching that, I had I needed a reboot, but they don't tell you that. But it did work. I don't think the problem is the same in 7 as it is in 8. But it was driving me crazy for a while.
Sometimes when I can't get Java to work right or update correctly, I'll just go in the control panel, remove all Java, and then just go to Nyonite and grab the and then they'll just grab the latest one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If I can finish the sentence here, that just, you know, that's me just wiping it and starting from scratch. That's not necessarily the best idea.
No, but it's not a bad one. There is, I think, a Java uninstaller around you can use to install all instances of Java.
Yeah, I had a client. Before. I had a client call me the other day and said, my computer, they're hearing the ads and the music out of in the background, and things aren't working right in their computer. And I said, well, you definitely have infection. And so I ran my, D7.2 on it, and found that the morning before, they had installed java.exe, and it was a malicious Java, and it infected their computer. They were all messed up. So was able to clean quite a bit of stuff out of their computer just because they installed java.exe, because it was one of those fake pop-ups. And there, sure. I'm going to try to get them to move over to the managed, my managed antivirus. And that way I can just tell them.
I was at the car dealer today, waiting to change my oil and fix my tire. And, they got two pieces on there. And they used to have like a standard user to go on. So I go on one that's not a standard user, it's the admin user. And I'm recognizing all this stuff, all these toolbars on the desktop. I mean, this stuff. So I said, I'm going to get Malwarebytes. I ran Malwarebytes. It found like 1,100 and some stuff.
Mitch is like, since I'm here, I might as well clean these computers.
I didn't get to finish. They finished my car before I finished cleaning the computer.
But I know that. I've done that too, where you've gone to a public place, you sit down on a computer, and you know instantly, just by looking at some of the browsers and stuff, you go
24/7.
You're like, I don't even know if I want to do anything on this computer. I can just tell right now it's so infected. Because you go to a website and you watch up at the top, it changes it to the Trivoli.
Right.
And then redirection. You're like, yeah. I could spend my time doing what I.
They had all those shortcuts on the desktops with desktop, which I recommend.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's when you hand them. That's when you hand them your card and say, "Thanks for changing my oil, by the way."
What are your default browsers? What do you guys use?
Chrome here.
Chrome and Firefox.
Okay, and what are your default search engines?
Google.
Same here. And have you noticed that the most recent Firefox update it sets the default search provider to Yahoo?
Yeah.
What is that all about?
That came down a couple months ago, if I remember correctly. But yeah, Yahoo gave Mozilla enough money, and now Yahoo is the default search engine for Firefox.
See, you just have to go in and change it, but it's extremely irritating.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you do have to go in and change it, but yes, you are right. Any brand new installs, by default for Firefox, Yahoo is your now default search engine, which is probably just one step above using Bing for Internet Explorer. Just a tiny step, like a baby step.
Isn't Bing and Yahoo kind of like the same kind of?
Oh, are Yahoo? They?
Bing is Microsoft.
Yeah, but for some reason I was thinking there was like a lot of kind of the same.
I think that new browser that
in the background
Microsoft is going to have, it's going to be real comparable to Chrome.
What's that?
I forgot the name of it. You remember the name of it, Martin?
The new one that just came out?
It's coming. I don't know if it's out now or it's going to come out.
I'd have to look it up. But no, Tim, you are correct that the search engine marketing but yes, Bing and Yahoo travel hand in hand.
Okay.
There is some stuff that on the internet you could look at.
Yeah, I remember there was money changing hands and a lot of weirdness.
They'll be dragged back into court.
Just with the most recent, updates of Firefox. Once again, more updates last day or two. I come back and I'm searching. I'm like, well, this isn't right. And it wasn't like as easy as it should have been. I'm not saying it was difficult. It wasn't as easy as it should have been putting it back. Like, I actually had to go into a settings and switch it, as opposed to just clicking, clicking it and getting the list of search providers that are available and clicking Google and then it stayed. It wasn't quite that easy. So, as long as there's money involved, whatever. I mean, everybody's got to get paid.
Highlander in the chat says that Yahoo uses Bing search.
Okay, well, there we go.
And, Mitch, you were talking about the new Vivaldi, V-I-V-A-L-D-I browser. Is that what you're looking for?
I don't think that's the name of it. It's a Microsoft browser, but it's going to be
in... Oh, it's Windows. A Microsoft browser.
Yeah, it's going to be in Windows.
I thought you were talking about a Chrome browser.
No.
Vivaldi is a new browser put on by the Chrome Chrome people. And it's in beta. It's in test. You can't really do much with
Windows it. Windows 10 is going to have it in the final.
And
by the way, did you get cleared up on that? If you want to mention that,
I did. That was on my notes. Is that last week we had talked about Microsoft? We were talking with Tracy, and we thought that Microsoft 10 was going to go to a subscription based. It's not.
No.
What it is you for the first year you can upgrade for free, whether you have 7, 8, 8.1 or Windows 8 phone. You can upgrade to Microsoft Windows 10 for free. After that, I'm assuming it's going to have to cost you, but the first year is free. And Highlander says it's the Spartan. That's browser's it, Spartan.
Yeah, yeah. That's it.
Got to get him on the show, maybe.
he's been on a pod, I think.
In Windows 10, they just have a web browser with a different name.
Yeah, it's going to be...
This is the first time hearing this, so I don't know what makes it special.
I think they all use... What is it? It's called WebKit, the engine, and of course, Chrome uses something different. I don't know. It's going to be comparable to something like Chrome.
Yeah. It's one of those things where you never know.
Extensions. I see. Extensions and whatnot. You know what? I tell you what. I was really intrigued with that new pricing model. I suppose it's a lot more. It's a lot bigger than that. But just the whole thing of the thing. Windows was a thing that came in a box and you bought it. And of course, most people got it pre-installed on the machine, but it wasn't that long ago. I wanted to build a computer. I went and bought a box and it had a disk in it. And you pay good money for that. And, a few years later, now we're looking at this and it's like, hey, you could have an OS that's, several years old and you've got 12 months to decide if you just want to upgrade for free. I was really kind of intrigued by that. Now I know that Microsoft will break this just terribly somehow. That's my that's my way out of this. But there's a little part of me that is really hopeful that because there's a lot of new blood there. There's new management. They got to do something. I mean, I don't know how long I've been saying on the show that with the prevalence of all these different devices, people pick up. I got older customers that they're like, just keep it. I got my tablet. It's like, wow, you didn't get they're just zipping around around their Android phone, and they got their Android tablet, and they're like, yeah, it's fine. And so once people learn that they can use any device and do the things they want to do with it, and it doesn't have to be through this portal, this Windows portal, that all of a sudden it's like buying that thing in that box is no longer important. So, that whole concept is dead. Its days are numbered. And so I see Microsoft doing this. It's like, wow, maybe they're moving toward a model. Of course, the model already exists. It's what Google does. I mean, Google, it's a stupid search engine, for crying out loud. I mean, they give away the OS and the updates and everything that comes with it like that. And so I see where Microsoft is kind of making those kinds of moves, those kinds of decisions. I mean, I don't want to let my mind wander too far because, you just don't turn a big ship like that on a dime, but it really is interesting. It feels like there's some potential here that maybe they realize the position they're in and how to get where it is they need to go. And this is the sort of thing that could do providing the software, the service and everything else. And I don't know. I'm not sure what all is involved there, but it was really interesting reading all that. So I don't know. They'll break. They'll kill it somehow.
I know, Martin, you're not too much on Windows, Martin, but I will update at least two machines to Windows 10.
I have a VM, and I'll definitely throw a Windows 10 VM up just to see what it does. And I mean, even though I don't use Windows for myself, right, remember, I support Windows servers and computers. So while I may not run, that's a Windows box behind me. While I may not run Windows on my primary operating system, I have a virtual machine that runs Windows. So I have to keep up with it. But I'm interested how they're going to do what they're going to do with this Windows as well, because Apple's been doing the same thing.
Right.
Well, you buy your $1,500, $2,000 laptop, and then the upgrades are free after that. So,
but see that's a difference when you sell the software and the hardware. When you're selling the whole package, that makes sense. Because you've made your money. You're selling the whole thing. You're selling the hardware. You're selling the OS. You're selling the service and the support and everything that goes with it. Yeah, Microsoft, they've never been in that position. And I tell you, would you agree that a lot of their problems through the years have been because they have no control over the hardware their software is going on? They build the OS. They do their best to make it work in most situations. They give it to the third party,
third-party vendors. They take their hardware, usually the cheapest stuff they can find, and they try and make it work. And a lot of bad stuff happens, you know, in that relationship. If Microsoft is doing the Apple thing, where they're obviously it's not going to go that exclusively, but I really do love the fact that Microsoft is finally trying to sell their own hardware and software. At least they have a chance to put something out there that you can look at and say, okay, this is at least as close as to what they envisioned. That it's probably working about as well as it's going to, you know. And so, oh, blast, it got away from me. But
well, I think yeah, Microsoft's kind of been put in a corner. Really. I mean, your Android phones get updated automatically. My Linux box gets updated for free automatically. Your Apple devices get updated for free automatically. And at some point, what happens is they say, okay, no longer will these games, these applications work on this older operating system. So I think to keep up with the trend that you know, it seems like 90% of the population is doing with, I mean, and I don't mean 90% of Apple versus Mac, you know, Windows versus Mac OS or Linux. What I mean is, is, you know, Android tablets and iPhone tablets, that kind of stuff, all of that versus Windows, is that Microsoft has to change their business plan because people are going to say, well, what's the point? Why am I going to go buy another operating system when I can just go get this other device? And so Microsoft has to come up and pretty much say, we are now going to offer this for free. And so I think that this beginning of offering Windows 10 for free is just a step where they're going to eventually mold it into a subscription plan like they've been doing for Office 365. Or they're going to just give it away and you pay for Office.
Hey, you know, I guess that I have trouble envisioning the thing where at least at the consumer level, that they are going to actually require some, that this is an installment thing, that they'll require money. Like you own the hardware forever, but if you wanted to actually like boot up into something, you know, every 9 months you have to send us a check. I have trouble picturing that. I think that, I guess what I envision in my mind is that, What I liked about what they were doing with Windows 8 was that, you know, they were trying to create something that would work across, it would be a familiar GUI across, you know, all devices. So everything from the phone to the tablet to the, you know, the laptop, the desktop, on. And so, but I can see where it makes sense that, you know, with time, you have all these devices out there and you want that consistency across those devices. It does make sense to, it doesn't make sense to expect people to upgrade all those at the same time. So if you have all of these things, you know, well, so let's say Windows, well, what's the next version? This is 8 and 10, so 15 will probably be the next one. So Windows 15 comes out, so you get a new tablet with 15, but you still got 10 on you know, your laptop. You still have, you know, whatever on your phone, and so, well, that becomes a disaster. You know, not just for, you know, a terrible user experience, but, you know, from Microsoft just trying to, you know, trying to get all the interoperability. I think I almost got that word out. It does make sense to just say, boom, update across the board, and all of your stuff is upgraded, and it's all working nicely, and and you're dealing with all the same problems all at once, and you get them ironed out. They have, you know, through the years, they've always had these legacy problems, legacy issues, you know what? I think it makes, I'm getting a little bit excited just kind of thinking about it, like, just that this is so different. It has the potential to be so radical and such an interesting change, you know, to follow, to see where it goes. That, bam, you have these devices and updates come out, boom, and you got the updates across the board on all your devices, and you don't have to fool around with all this. Now they'll wreck it. It'll be bad. But I was very interested in reading that. You know what? It was kind of a spark, something different, it seemed like. I think that even women should get these devices and ask for raises. And it's not your Microsoft from 6 months ago or whenever.
No, they are definitely making a change. You can see that they're making a change.
That was a joke.
Okay, oh no, I know. Referring to the
we love women. Matter of fact, we married them and everything. No, it was. But anyway, it was very interesting to read that, and it's a very dynamic place right now. I mean, the whole thing of just the 3 year. I mean, that was the thing with XP. Oh, it hung around too long. They got to stay in a 3 year upgrade cycle. That to me I just wanted to dig a hole and lay down in it. That just sounds awful. A 3 year upgrade cycle. This sounds very dynamic and energized, and you know, there's a lot of potential there for quick growth. And hey, something's not working. Boom, let's change it. You know, 6 months out, we could have like big changes in place. I don't know. I think it's exciting to me to see this big company that just kind of like, I just felt like it was really kind of dying. It was just going away. Maybe they're onto something here. I mean, they're only doing what everybody else is doing. I know they're not reinventing the wheel, but
no, but they've been trailing behind everybody for so long. You know, you have Google and Apple and all these other, you know, big players, operating system players, like and Google being, you know, I would say that Google's way out in the front with releasing their Chrome, you know, their Chrome OS. They have these products and these companies that are innovating and they're leading and they're going off and they're doing their own thing. And Microsoft's just kind of, well, we're going to keep doing what we're doing. We're going to hit the hammer on the same nail. We've done that for 30 years. And it feels like now they're finally like, wait a minute, maybe we should look at doing something a little bit different. Maybe we should look at innovating. Maybe we need to stop holding on to what has been the mainstay for so long and look at what is going to be new and fast and exciting. And I think techs get a kick out of that.
Yeah, I mean, I got kind of excited. Anyway, that's all their money is in enterprise. We know that this whole thing with the consumer market is just, it's a little plaything. It's a string on the finger. It's a little plaything. Yeah. But anyway, it is exciting. Anyway, I'm tired of this. What else you got, buddy?
This just came in, and I threw it in the chat room and. From the New York Times, White House drone crash is tied to drunken spy agency employee.
Wow.
Did you hear about that drone that crashed in the White House?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. I didn't know what the reason was, but
well, yeah, nobody knew what the reason was, and it made this huge, and it's one of the one of the drones that's white and red. It's kind of the $499 one. I can't remember which one it is, but it has big feet on it, and you can put the GoPro on it, and it actually looks kind of cool. So this is a drunken guy who works for the GO. I gotta quickly scan that thing again. He was off duty, so that's thing. But he's the Geospatial Intelligence Agency. So these are the people who send up security satellites. That's the word I'm looking at. Security satellites and you know, kind of do geo stuff, and they look at like Hurricane Katrina. They're the guys who take the pictures of all that kind of stuff. So, anyways, he was at his friend's house. He was drunk, flying this copter around, and it landed in the White House lawn. And you know, it just brings up, you know, it's another thing of just, you know, how are they going to protect things like that? And I don't know. I just thought it was kind of
they're
funny.
They're going to have snipers around the White House now.
Are we going to have drone shooting missiles now? Yeah. They're going to take out anything that flies next to the White House, a bird, a drone, a kite, Iron Man. I don't know.
National Geospatial Intelligence Agency. You know what? This is the best line I've read in a long time. But officials say the plan was foiled, perhaps by the wind or a tree.
Yep. He said he had been drinking at an apartment nearby. It wasn't until the next morning when he woke, telling his friends that it was all over the news, that he contacted his employer.
So it wasn't deliberate then?
No, it wasn't deliberate.
Yeah, all right.
It probably started with, hey, watch this, don't you think?
I bet you I can zoom the White House.
You have to get a little thing, like when you buy a drone, you have to have a little disclaimer there. Not to be operated while drunk.
Maybe. I don't know. That just came in. I thought that was kind of funny.
They are cool looking, though.
Made me giggle. Speaking of things that are frontline news, not news stories, but frontline kind of tech, bleeding tech stuff. There's a story I came across, and it's from USA Today, so it has a video on it, that police officers have radar guns that can see inside your home. Ooh. Now, I don't know. I didn't watch the whole news story, but the whole point is that they can, it can, it, you know, it's radar. So it bounces off, it sends you signals, but the whole point is that it goes inside and you can get a, you know, a projection of what's going on. Turn off that video, but I don't know. It looks kind of interesting. So I thought it was one of those. Then we get into this whole talk of private versus public. And anyways, we can save that for another Geekster show, but I thought that was an interesting, interesting article.
What are they doing with them?
I don't know. Maybe right now they're for, you know, seizures, or they're for hostage situations that they can see, you know, they can take a picture of what's going on inside.
So, okay. So, something of the equivalent of night vision goggles in the dark.
Yeah. You know, right.
You cut the power, you go in at night, boom, you can see they can't. I can see where, okay, so this device would, you know, help you see around the corner. It's not as if they're, does this suggest they're sitting outside my house peering in looking for...
Well, that is a, you know, the tinfoil hat comes on and that is a concern.
Well, I mean, I suppose anybody that really wanted to see what was going on in my house, they'd probably just watch this show. they're out there with their radar guns looking at, my, his desk is a mess. they're calling my grandmother right now. She knew it would happen.
It's only a matter of time. So I don't know. You could take it. I mean, I'm just going to put it out there. So you could take it as, you know, like anything. It can be used with good. It can be used with bad. I just thought it's exciting. You know, I'm a tech geek. Everybody's here. We're a geek. And so it's things like that are fun.
No, those are great tech stories. I love it. It has all the elements. I tell you what, I'll throw a third one in. Did you hear earlier the unfortunate incident with Steve DiAmico?
Oh my gosh, yes.
I didn't. I missed it.
I had a hard time not laughing during that.
He was telling the story. Right? This is like, I don't know, but if Steve was here, I'm sure he'd tell a story. It's not like a big deal, but it's one of those unfortunate things where, you know, my gosh, it's, you know, everything is on your phone. You know, you use it for everything but a phone, and then you need it for a phone. You know, what happens when your phone just goes away? It's bad. And so, you know, not to mention just having to replace it and, you know, the financial concerns and everything that goes with it. But God love you, Steve. I really do, buddy. Only Steve, this would only happen to Steve. of course, Steve DiAmico, he was, oh my gosh, a fixture here at Podnuts Forever. And anybody that needs any introduction, you know, please check out Nuts at Night or,
Unbootables.
Oh. Fantastic. So, and also he did a number of you know, Podnuts Dailies and this sort of thing, and ran his own shop. For great, great guy, a lot of fun to know. But just unfortunate things happen to him. Anyway, he just has a great way of telling a story. Yeah. But he was out running a snow thrower today, and his phone falls out of his pocket. Well, you know, it goes in the snow. Oh my gosh, where's my phone, right? And so, and I remember this happening a few years ago. Somebody told a story, they lost a phone in the snow. And unfortunately, it was a couple years afterward, but somebody said, "What? Get a metal detector." Well, that's how you find your phone in the snow. You get a metal detector.
Or just wait till spring.
Call it.
Well, that's the other option, but you know, you're going to miss a lot of calls. Well, Steve didn't have that option because before he located the phone, it got sucked up in the snow thrower. And so... he said that what came out the other end, the business end of the snow thrower, was basically just a mangled mess and like the SIM card.
So he's desperately looking today to buy a phone, but his SIM card,
desperately looking to replace this device.
But his SIM card is valid, and he was able to pull all of his data off of it.
What? Say that again.
It sounded like he was able to pull all of his data off of his SIM card. Like the SIM card came out okay.
Like I'm thinking, the SIM card was like the black box in the scenario.
Yeah, yeah.
That he after a snow thrower blows a cell phone out the side of it, I don't know how you find his. Every SIM card I ever has white too. I mean, how would you? I'd never find it in the snow. I mean, it would just be gone. But I mean, the SIM card made it, so he still had the SIM card.
Well, okay, was it a SIM card or an SD card? I can't remember.
It was a SIM card. It was the SIM card that he had.
All right.
So I, you know, but goodness gracious, that's an awful way to
That's a great way to destroy a phone.
That's what you do to things you don't like.
That's right. Steve is in New York, right?
Yeah, he's in New York, and they got a lot of snow, like a couple feet maybe.
Mm-hmm. He went all gangster style on it, like original gangsters, like 1950s gangsters.
Wait, say that again.
On his phone, like, you know, if you mess with them, you get to swim with the fishies.
Oh, okay. All right, I got you.
D'Amico, you know. You know.
It's like the Godfather.
I'm a tech. Yeah, techs don't hurt phones, but sometimes phones get hurt.
He's part of the family. You know what I'm talking about?
Exactly.
Well, anyway, hats off to you, Steve. Only you can tell a story. Just fantastic, and wish you the best to find a new phone. But I pull out a photo for your phone, so.
I do miss those stories. He is a great storyteller.
He could actually, like, if I told him a story, he wasn't even there. He could retell it 5 minutes later, and it would be like brand new. That guy can tell a story.
Do you remember the one where he sent? I guess he was selling something on like a computer on eBay or something, and he's being spammed. He knew it was spam. He sent him a case with a brick in it or something like that. Remember that? Wasn't that a great story? Can you imagine that?
They were messing with him or something. It was like something. It was some where I think they would send him like $100 and he was supposed to send them an empty case. I don't know, $20. He sent them a case, an empty case with a brick in it. I think they were supposed to handle the postage when it got there. So
that was great.
It's fantastic. Fantastic stuff.
Well, I had a win this week on Sunday.
Oh,
okay. So I have a server. It needed to be upgraded. Needed more memory. And went online, went to Crucial's website, went to Dell's. It's a Dell server. Went there, found out what kind of memory it needed, and then ordered it. And it didn't work. And I think I may have mentioned this. So I sent it back. They sent me another set. And that one didn't work. It's like, all right. So I sent that back, asked for a refund, bought a new set of RAM from a different manufacturer, put that in, didn't work. Now, this is that's three times I've tried to put RAM in the server, user and it error? Just doesn't work. I get an error. What was that, Mitch?
No, I'm saying, was it user error?
No.
Uh-oh.
I hope it wasn't user error. But so then what I ended up having to do was, after going through some forums and looking, because everybody else says one thing, I finally found a forum that said, in these Dell operating systems, if it has a Xeon processor, you need to use error-correcting RAM, so ECC RAM, which most RAM you get is non-ECC.
Server memory.
Right, but this wasn't...
That sounds vaguely familiar to me. I don't remember why, but yeah.
I did a Voxer about it. But Crucial, Kingston, Dell, they all said get this certain type of RAM, and I did, and it didn't work. So somebody else ran into this issue.
Interesting.
So I needed ECC RAM, put it in on Sunday, and it worked. Boom. So the server now has more memory in it. Things are running better.
What were the symptoms again?
It was just, you mean when it wouldn't boot?
That was the symptom. It just wouldn't boot.
Right.
It wouldn't clear the BIOS.
Right. Well, it never got to BIOS. So on some of the Dell servers, they have lights across the front that kind of tell you what's going on. Sure. Mm. 1, 3, and 4 would stay lit. And then it would cycle, and then 1 would go off, but 3 and 4 always stayed lit, which is a RAM issue. Mm-hmm. So I took the RAM out. I put the other, I did every configuration of checking to see maybe it was just a bad configuration, or the slots 1 through 4 were wrong or whatever.
Sure.
And no, it was just ECC.
I'm sorry, I'm not up to speed on the story at all. How'd you come to this? How did they have a server that just wouldn't boot?
The server just needed more memory. It was just running slow, so we were going to put more memory in.
Oh, this was an upgrade, and it wouldn't take.
Okay. So four times the charm on this one.
I understand. Okay, I'm clear. So how much did it have, and how much does it have now?
It went from 8 to 16.
Oh, fantastic.
The same server. So I kind of dealt a lot with this company for some reason, which is fine. It's one of the companies that I spend time with, and then I won't hear from them for a while. One of the things was they have a new business manager, and the business manager kind of was part-time when the other one left, and so there really wasn't a good transition between what's on the server, what's in the folders, who handles what, where the permissions are.
Yes, 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 yes.
So we've been trying to make sure that everybody has the right permissions. She's up to date. She knows what's going on. I knew what the permissions were, but just to make sure, I wanted to find a program that would tell me the permissions and make sure that the distribution groups and security groups were all correct. I found one called NTFS Permissions Reporter, and it's from cjwdev.co.uk. And it's just a great permissions reporter. You can run it. You tell it what directory or what folder you want to run, and it takes a while and it chugs away, and then it'll list out all the permissions for you in a tree style. So you have to dig a little bit, but it's, you know, if you, for me, I didn't have too much to go through, so it was more, I use this more as a as confirmation that what I thought was correct, rather than, you know, trying to really dig deep into this. I've worked with a couple other companies where, even in my past employer, you know, you have thousands of folders, and with all of these different permissions, that could be pretty time sensitive, considering if we're, you know, pretty taxing if they say we need to know everything. This one wasn't as big, so it didn't take as long. But if you ever have a program out there, or you get asked to what are the permissions on, you know, these folders, there you go, the NTFS permissions reporter.
So it'll report it out all the way from the subfolders and everything.
Yep.
I bet you it would be handy.
Yeah. Like I said, it's a little, like, it doesn't, it's not overly user friendly. It's not, so you don't get this nice, simple chart and you go, oh, that's what it is. It is a little techy, but it does give you the information you are looking for if you spend some time just looking at it, digging into it. And like I said, if you have thousands of folders, this is going to save you a lot of time. If you have only a couple folders, then this may not save you as much time.
How would you do this otherwise?
Go through each folder.
I was just saying,
and really? Yeah, you have to just manually look at each folder. Now, the problem is that say you have a root folder, or you know, you've got your root folder, and then below that you have a subfolder, and then below that you have, you know, 150 folders, but yet you've changed the permission, so one of the folders is available. Now you have to look through, you know, all these folders and all their subfolders, because maybe you've changed permissions below that.
All that for each user, correct?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Oh, yeah. And if you had a big company, oh my God.
Yeah, it's, so that could be very, very time consuming, where this will save you some time. Where me, I only had about 20 folders, and I knew pretty much what, you know, HR was locked down, and one of a couple of the administrative stuff was locked down. You know, the marketing was not locked down, and that was open to everybody. I kind of knew after setting it up what was and what wasn't, but we did have to make some permission changes to who was there, get rid of some old users that that are still around, but they're very frequently, they will check in remotely. We disable their accounts. And so,
gotcha. Interesting.
Just spend some time cleaning up.
Interesting. Great fun.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, fantastic.
It's a cool one. Well, there was something else. I have a screen replacement. So, I talked to Liam, our good friend, and he said to go to DVD Super.
Yep.
I bought a screen from them. That'll be coming in.
A laptop
screen, yes. Mm-hmm. I could see the image on it. You could hold a flashlight to it, see the image on it, but the image was pretty, it was there. You couldn't, just the backlight was gone or something. Yeah. So talked to our good friend Liam Tidwell. He said, go to DVD Super, call them up. I have a screen. I'll be getting that on Friday. Just a quick Toshiba laptop replacement.
I've never done a screen replacement. Never.
I didn't think about this until just now, because I saw it behind me. This book came in. It's called, I can't read. It's called Firewalls Don't Stop Dragons, a step-by-step guide to computer security for non-techies. And it was a Kickstarter, but it looks like it's a pretty easy just, you know, it talks about, there's crash plan in here. It talks about Mac and Windows, passwords.
But you said for non-techies, but you're a techie.
Well, but you know,
easy
sometimes
read.
I just like to.
Well, obviously, they don't know this information when it comes to launch codes for missiles. Seems to me like this, even the most basic information would be brand new to some people.
Right. Well, and this looks, I mean, you know, I don't mind reading. You know, there's times where I'll read advanced articles, but then there's sometimes where I just have to, you know, we talked about being in a rut, that sometimes, you know, it's as easy as a tech to start with, you know, we start at number 10 instead of, because we just assume 1 through 9 are correct. And this way, I can go through this and just go, oh, yeah, that's right, I should remember that. But it's things like backing up, passwords, online access, practice safe surfing, LAN, computer surfing, you know, security. So I'll put a link in it, but it's called Firewalls Don't Stop Dragons. And I think I had heard about it on Sunday Morning Linux Review. But I'll put a link in the show notes for that.
You forget stuff, too. I mean, I know you took your A-plus way back when.
Yeah.
I mean, I forgot a lot of it. I mean, just don't use it every day.
Just getting a link. Amazon, if you have Kindle Unlimited, it's free. Oh, no, wait. Kindle is $9.99, and paperback is $16.90 for this.
Well, give us a gem out of there.
Well, I don't know. I haven't read it yet.
What were you holding up?
The book. Oh, you want? Oh, you want me just to read you something?
Oh, I thought you'd already fired through a little bit. Well, I don't know. Just flip through it and stick your finger in there. See if you come up with a tiny jewel for us.
How to manage your passwords?
Yeah, we already know that.
All right, let's find something different besides that.
I write them on little slips of paper that I tape to my monitor.
It goes over Windows 8.1. Let's see, who can you trust? Privacy, and I'm going backwards, so that's. I did notice that they use CrashPlan in here, though, so that's pretty cool. They talk about QR codes. I don't know. LastPass, they do mention LastPass in here.
And there you go.
Right there. Talks about LastPass, backing up everything. So, anyways, I'll have to. It's not very long. I think it's 200 and some pages, but I'll have to check it out, report it back. It'll be the Geeksters Book Club. Book of the
book club.
It'll be the
actually.
The book
you know
of the
what
month,
you can do?
Book of the month or something.
You can read it out loud and record yourself. Then we have a number. I don't think. You can
oh, there
do,
we go.
I don't think
yeah.
you can do that.
I actually have a friend who does Audible.
Oh yeah.
I get a hold of him and say, "Hey, could you just read this for me?"
Is his name?
You don't
Dio?
Have to record it.
Or perhaps just save that book for the next time you want to filibuster on one of these shows.
Oh, I could do
next
that.
Geeksters that runs like 48 hours while you just. Yammer on trying to prevent us from voting on something.
If we have a 48-hour Geeksters, I'm not sure. That's
oh my.
It's a lot of bathroom breaks.
Oh, they have to be going off. What's that guy?
We just do it from the bathroom. What's it matter?
Oh. I travel. You guys know that. I really like Waze. You guys ever heard of that? That's the social media. They talk about, you know, there's a stall coming up or there's a police car on the side of the road or there's, you know, it's basically social media traffic, you know. Mm-hmm. Google owns it. Google bought them not too long ago.
Surprisingly.
The police officers, this is from Naked Security, which is from Sophos. They're being asked to remove the feature to report police officers.
Okay.
So it says Waze lets people report accidents, traffic jams, speed, and police traps while its online editors gives you a chance to do updates on roads, landmarks, house numbers, and the cheapest place to buy fuel. I mean, I use Waze when I travel because it'll tell me this is the fastest way to go. It'll look at your traffic, where you need to go, and I use it all the time. They're being asked by basically the police community, is wanting them to take it down because they're, you know, people are reporting where police officers are. Now, one of the things they do mention in this is that the execution of the two police officers in Brooklyn not too long ago, if you were a Waze person and you reported those police officers, then somebody, with malicious intent could go find the police officers because you basically told them where they are and they could, you know, injure somebody. So I don't know. I think they're using that I don't think that's a very good argument. But I use Waze, like I said, I use it all the time, and it works out. It works out really well. If you've never tried it, it drives my wife nuts, though.
It's better than the regular Google Navigate.
Well, I don't know if it's better than the regular Google Navigate, other than the fact that it shows me when I can look ahead and see that as I'm coming over the hill into Portland, I can see that traffic has stopped or where it stopped or there's an accident. So I know ahead of time that there's an accident, and I can turn off the road and I can maybe take a back road into Portland. That's what I use it for.
Yeah.
The police officers thing is kind of nice, but when you first start it up, when you're first user on it, it's always dinging to you. It's always talking to you. My wife kind of hated that. It doesn't work well in rural environments. When I do travel to rural country, it's just me on the road. There's nobody out there. There's nobody reporting anything. It can wear your battery down pretty good because it's constantly talking to the satellites. And constantly updating traffic and constantly.
When do you ingress?
I don't ingress. It's.
Oh, well, there's your problem.
Well, it's kind of like ingress, but for traffic.
It's like ingress, but.
What
like,
is this ingress thing?
It has value.
But it has.
but it actually has some redeeming value. Yeah, I've never used it, but I understand. I kind of see what it's doing. I guess in my frame of reference is when I look at a map and it shows parts of the highways that are green, and that those are the parts of the highway I'm probably going to be happy, and the parts that are red, that's probably I'm going to be very unhappy. But it doesn't like I you know what that's what all that honestly that's all I need to know. Is it red, yellow, or green? You know, what's the nature of the thing? Is it, you know, is it just road construction? Is there an accident? I mean, police officers, does one really need that, that much detail? I don't know. I mean, I guess I don't use it. So I don't understand what it is that they're taking issue with. And actually, you know, as a side, I think that anything that, if we're going to err on the side of caution, I mean, really, it's with law enforcement, you know, these officers, these guys, they put their lives on the line. I mean, if we have to like back off a little bit on something here and there, just ensure maybe some safety for these guys. I give them a lot of latitude with that kind of stuff. So, yeah, yep. Whatever the issue is here, I would be, you know, really, you know, willing to look at it, but I'm not familiar enough with the application.
Well, as you're driving along and you see a police officer, you can make you can drop a pin on your map, and that way, then now it shares it to anybody else. So as somebody else is speeding behind you, they can see, oh, there's a police officer up ahead, and then they can slow down.
Okay. All right. So I get that.
I don't know. It's
the modern day flicking your lights.
Yes, without the gang initiation, because that's what flicking your lights does.
Yeah, because with Waze, you don't get beat in.
Something like that.
Yeah. Anyway,
I'm trying to think of. I have three new computers on the way. New clients. You know, going to be deploying new systems. Things have been good here. So I'm excited for that. Yeah, I was looking at I had to write out a delivery cheat sheet because I had so many things kind of juggling that I've got the monitor coming in. I have four Dell computers coming in. I've got a printer coming in.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm going to be doing, let's see, the client that I met with today was a coffee shop, you know, looking at deploying new wireless and protecting their point of sale systems from their customers. And how are we going to do that? And deploying a new wireless with some captive portal information in it. One of my other clients, they're kind of doing a restructuring. They're actually moving offices inside of a building, and it's an old house converted into a there was an old house used as a business office, and so it looks like we need to have a contractor on site because we're gonna have to run some more cables because they're moving from a place that has two internet connections to one. So I'm meeting with the contractor hopefully on Thursday, have them run some Cat5 for me. Yeah, things are going good and keep busy.
Very nice. Hey, Bart, I just installed this NTFS permissions reporter that you mentioned earlier. It's not portable. It does require installation, but I installed it here while we were talking. This thing is really slick.
It feels like it's a little overwhelming.
I don't know. It looks, well.
I mean, it can be.
I don't know. I clicked two buttons and it's doing stuff.
Yeah, and I just downloaded the free version. I downloaded the free version. I don't know what the difference is between the free and the paid one. Oh, so in a free one, you get all the information, but you can't export it. You can only export it to an HTML file, where the paid version, you can export to XLS, CSV, HTML, or an NTPR. So that's their own tool. So you can export it and then import it back in later on. They can do filters. Oh, so there you go. Create filters to help you find exactly what you're looking for or execute permissions that you're not interested in.
This is more for like an admin more than a home user.
Right, right. So you could, if you know the user, maybe you know the user you're looking for, right, and you can find out where all their permissions are. The free version, not a problem. With the paid version is, ouch, it's a little expendy. So single user, $149. Consultant, $199. A site is $359, and an enterprise level is $579. So a little spendy, but you know, if you need to use it all the time.
Yeah, but like many of our tools, you don't. So
right.
I mean, stick out in your toolbox. It's all about you know what, and we carry a big toolbox with a lot of tools in it. It's all about knowing which tool to use when. And this looks like it would definitely be exactly what you need in
Define what the heck it is you're looking for. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty cool.
CJWDev.co.uk. And I thought for some reason they had some more software that I had used from them before. It looks like a lot of their stuff. Oh, I have used their stuff before. They've got a program called AD Tidy that cleans up. That's what I've used this for. Okay. This company, AD Tidy was the program that I had mentioned months ago before, and I can't remember his name. I'd have to look it up. He came up with this PHA PowerShell script that would clean up old users. And I used AD Tidy before to clean up old users. So if you have a user that, or a computer, especially like a computer, say you've got thousands of computers, but you know that some people have removed the computers, but they haven't really cleaned up your Active Directory, you can run AD Tidy and say, show me every computer that hasn't logged in the last 30 days. And what it will do is it'll give you a list. Then you can manually go through your Active Directory and delete or disable those computers. And this gentleman that I can't remember his name, I can pull it up here, wrote a PowerShell script that will do exactly the same thing.
Got it. AD, Active Directory, AD Tidy.
Yeah, and his name, Raymond. Yeah, cleaning up old computers. This was in November of 2014.
Free accounts found in the report. You can perform one of the following functions: disable, delete, move to another OU, set descriptions, on and on. You know, this is a guy who has dealt with these issues, and he's like, I'm just going to make my own tools.
Yeah. Definitely based around your Active Directory or your server, your server for a domain controller. So check. Yeah. If you have any of that, just check out this tool, all of these tools. I've used them before and I was like, it sounded familiar. So.
Oh, very cool.
Now that I've completely taken over the show.
No, not a problem. Did you have to run, Martin?
We're gonna have to go here soon. Tonight we are recording another episode of Linux for the Rest of Us. So get going on that. But do you guys have anything you want to talk about? Like I said, now that I've taken over the whole show.
You know, I'd be remiss if I didn't at least touch on this. A few weeks ago, I teased all of this crazy stuff that I've been uncovering in my basement, and then we never got to it. So you know. I missed a show, and then we had awesome show last week. I was listening to that, really enjoyed that. So I'm thinking that I should probably at least bring one of these items and just kind of discuss it. And so it's not like, I wouldn't want any of our rabid fans losing sleep over this teaser that just kind of never material. I'm sure we're being inundated with mail. To relieve the Podnuts servers of the massive amounts of correspondence really dismayed guests I'm going to bring one up. I mean, I'll tell you what, I'm bringing this one in particular. I got a handful of stuff here, but I really want to talk about this because I've been using it for a week. I thought I'm going to give this thing a week and either it's going to be great or it's just going to be awful. And what this is, folks, is, It was in the year. It's cold. It's a little bit slow. This is a great time to kind of go through the shop, clean out the cobwebs, throw out the junk, and just organize what you got. And as I'm doing that,
you're cleaning it up from downstairs and bringing it upstairs.
Yeah. Well, I think gravity has actually brought me to this point in a lot of these things behind me. But yeah, as you're doing this, I love it. It's like these little Easter eggs. I find a box where it's like, well, what is this box? And then it's like, well, where'd this come from? And you're like, oh, I vaguely remember doing that job. And it's actually, you know, where I set somebody up with a new machine and I carted away the old stuff. And there's always that box of stuff. You know, it's the disks and the manuals and all that. But every once in a while you find like little peripherals or these types of things. And it's, I found a few things. I'm like, oh, I don't even know what that is. So, anyway, the item that I want to talk about just briefly, it's called a hand track. It's model number FDM G11, and what it is, it's basically a handheld mouse with it's a trackball. So, but yeah, I mean you can Google that up. It's I don't know what the man. Actually, there is a website on the back of this.
3g-green-green-globe.com. I have no idea where that's going to take you, but that's back when they were selling websites by the pound. But anyway, it's called a hand track, HANDTRACK, and it's a little device. It's about about the size and shape of an egg, and as you hold it, there is, I mean, then this thing's probably 15 years old, I'm guessing, but as you hold it, there's about where there'd be a trigger on a gun. That's your left click. Your thumb rests on a little trackball that's about the size of a large marble, and then the tip of your thumb actually reaches out to what would be your right click, and then there's a third mouse button. But the whole thing is actually just in your hand, and so the whole thing with the trackball, it's
can you hold it up?
I can. So it's about the size of an egg. That's the front, and as you rotate it, that's the way you hold it. So you have the trigger there, and your thumb goes on the trackball, and then there's your my hand doesn't bend that way, but so anyway. Hey, you Googled up, you get a picture of the thing. It's PS2. So I thought, you know what? It's okay. Look, it's just it's like using a mouse, but it's just in your hand, so it's trackball. It was extremely awkward at first, but I had the feeling that using it was a lot like the first time you used a trackpad on a laptop. Extremely awkward, but soon enough you find yourself cruising along, no problem. And then it's like second nature now. And when you see people using one now for the first time, you're like, oh gosh, that was kind of tough at first. And I thought, you know what, this is probably the way this thing is. And so I thought, I'm giving this a week. So I put it on my bench machine. I use it exclusively. I got to say that it's still a little awkward. This one in particular, it's one of the old ones where it's, you have to take the ball out and you have to clean the little rollers. Mm. And so I got to say that probably my main complaint of the thing is that it started to get kind of a wonky where it would jump a little bit.
They should make laser ones.
Yeah. But the laser would shine right in your face.
Well, that's the price you have to pay for, convenience.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, that's the thing. And strangely enough, that was actually the perfect application because my bench machine, it's on my bench. And my bench is usually like a cover with work. And so, you set the mouse down. And I've always used a wireless laser mouse. We set it down. And I got a bad habit of setting those things down. So I don't know where it went. Or, it gets covered up with some work or gets pushed to the back of the bench. And you're always fighting that mouse trying to keep it. Right now there's like, I don't know, there's a laptop and three desktops over there that are cooking. My bench is all full up and there's no space. And so having this thing, strangely enough, it's perfectly perfect application for this. Having having that handheld, no horizontal surface required, I found it really effective actually in that scenario. It was still a little bit awkward, and I gotta say, it would be nice it would actually be perfect if I, if I could program a couple functions into it, like instead of just left click, right click, and I'm trying to think, like, so that I didn't have to do a few really routine things with the keyboard. I would say it would actually be pretty. It would be ideal because I mean, just grab it, go. So anyway, I thought it was really unusual. It was neat. It's one of those things you pick it up. It's like I've never seen one of those before, and I give it a thumbs up. I think it's a good device.
Well, Amazon does sell those USB.
Well, I have seen newer versions, but you have to look for. This website's probably bought by some XXX thing. Did you get anything from 3g-green-green-globe.com?
No, the site is offline. So I Googled 3d-green-green-globe. Yeah. And it took me to 3g-tw.com. Now, and I went there. Turn off your speakers. It's
yeah.
The site needs some updating, but it has music that plays in the background, so it's been a while. But you can go to 3g-tw.com. I'll put that in the notes as well. But yeah, the Amazon does sell one for $18.75 plus $3.50 for shipping. Only two left.
Looks cool.
Only two left.
Now, here's my question, Tim. So when you're using it and then you have to stop to type, do you, how does that?
Well, I use my other hand.
Well, what if you need two hands to type?
Oh, I no.
I don't know. I'm just asking. Do you just take it off and then
You know what? I've seen people use two hands to type, like in movies and stuff, but
like those early 1950s war movies.
Yeah. No, I don't
documentaries.
Know. I'm using a mouse. It's like, you know, it's just click, 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 click. You're just clicking, or, you know, maybe reach over to, you know, type a search term or two. But I mean, that doesn't.
Nah. That's probably the biggest downfall because for that reason, Martin.
Well, but if you're using Chrome, you could use Google Voice.
Yeah, true. Very true.
Well, no, I couldn't do that because I'm listening to podcasts, and it would just start Googling all kinds of crazy things. I'll tell you what, too, the keyboard, I've always, maybe April 1st I'll hook it up. I've always meant to hook this up during a podcast and announce my new keyboard that I, you know, and really build it up. But the keyboard that I use at my bench machine, it's like a mid-80s model. It's an old clicky keyboard.
I like those.
You know what? I love the thing. I just love the thing. You know, it's got the old spring action, and it really feels like you're getting something done. So anyway, I now got my hand track and my clicky keyboard, right? And so I'm officially just old.
Is that Bananarama I hear playing in the background?
Bananarama.
I kind of hear it.
Yeah. Well, it gets about halfway before I start yelling about the kids and their new music these days.
I like it.
So, all right. So anyway, that was an example of the kinds of things that I think that this should be a. I think it's probably going to be more of a reoccurring feature where I'll just drag something out of the bin, and I've got the next one all ready to go. Matter of fact, I'll go ahead and I'll just mention what it is.
Oh,
no. It's I'm not gonna explain it.
Oh, all right.
But this thing is. Oh my gosh, it's awful. It's funny because it's not, but it is. It is it's the Cat optical reader.
Oh, yes.
All right. Well, all right, that's enough.
All right.
You don't need to express any opinions in our grunts and groans. But no, it's the Cat, C-A-T, the Cat optical reader. And the next time that I bring something, probably in a month when I can just kind of shoehorn something in, I'll bring the Cat optical reader. A product way ahead of its time and should have been left. Well, I did get left there.
It should have gone down with the Titanic.
it kind of did. So anyway.
All right. Well, Tim, if people want to take a guess at what this wonderful magic mystery thing that you're going to bring in tomorrow, what's the best way they can get a hold of you?
I'm Tim Bauermeister on the G+.
All right. Oh, you know, we had a voicemail. We need to play that voicemail. So next week, voicemail.
All right.
Oh, the one from Jeff.
Yeah, one from Jeff.
Good one. Okay.
I keep forgetting about it. I'm sorry, Jeff.
You'll have to set it to me.
And I think I'm working to get Fred back on to come on and join us for a couple of shows. So we had him all scheduled today, and then he wasn't able to make it. So, Fred, if you're listening to the show, you've been called out. Gauntlet has been thrown. I will go out and siphon all of your fuel out of your plane, so you have to stay. Nothing. I'm sorry. I was waiting for a response.
I'm sorry. I thought you were talking to Fred.
Well, I was, but I was kind of waiting.
And if you want to get a hold of me, I'm Mitch Heyman on the G+2 or at geeksterspodnuts.com and send us those voicemails. Keep them coming in at 707-6-PODNUT. That is 707-676-3688.
And if you want to get a hold of me, I'm M. Obando in Google+, Obando Computing in the little IRC when I'm there. And you can email me at martin@obandocomputing.com. All right, guys, have a great week. Next month is February already.
Next month,
February 3rd. That's what I meant, next week.
Next month.
Next month is February for all of you, everybody who doesn't have a calendar. I just want to give you a heads up. It's February. All right, guys, have a great week, and we'll see you next time. Thanks, guys.